Evening, counselors. I can start. Any apologies?
Councillor Brady, Councillor Stokes.
There you are. Okay. Any declarations of interest? None? Okay. As we're going to start off with an update from Liam on the current situation with regard to...
Just to propose a second to go into committee.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, can we propose a second to go into committee? Yes. Councillor Curran and Councillor McMahon.
Okay, member, just want to...
Excuse me, guys, I have another engagement. I'll hand you over to very capable hand over to Alan.
Okay, we have a presentation from TransLink. You're very welcome here. First, we're going to have a presentation, and then we will open the floor for questions and any comments. Right, please introduce yourself.
Good evening, councillors. Thank you for your invitation this evening. My name is Kieran McHugh, and I am the district manager, or the service delivery manager for this particular part of the southern area for Downpatrick and Newcastle. Had the pleasure of attending last year when Kay was here. It was her just leaving. Could just start off this evening by giving you a small apology. We were supposed to be joined by our area manager this evening, who would have given you a sort of presentation on the company way forward, what's happening corporately, you know, give you an idea of what's happening across the network. But in fact, he is actually joining his mother tonight for the celebration of her 90th birthday, so she couldn't be with us. I assure you it was a talk. He didn't know where to go. You know, We're not using any visual accompaniment tonight. We're just going to give you basically an overview of what we've been doing in the area, you know, over the last year since our last meeting here. And as I say, then my colleague Greg, he'll give you an overview from the sort of Murray area. And we have been joined this evening by our illustrious colleague Avril, who is the area scheduler for us and helps us doing all the time tables and the timing of you, Olden, changing runs, and she'll keep us right in case we put our foot in it. You know, she's a very valued member and colleague to join us. So I'll just continue. I'll start by saying, I had a list of the actions from the last meeting, and I'm just pleased to say I'm sure that they were available to you by email. All our sort of requests have been dealt with, and we actually have those responses through the council from the last meeting, so they're available for you. If not, I can certainly send them on to you and it can be circulated. In this particular area, in Newcastle and Downpatrick, I'm speaking for what we've actually done from Downpatrick is we've increased the frequency of our Saturday services on the express run from Downpatrick into Belfast, and please tell council that we're now able to offer eight return trips between 7:45 and 18:55 on a Saturday, and we have seen that has been very successful, and there's been a good uptake on that, so we're delighted that we were able to do that. One of the major things corporately we did a review of our express services in general, and one of the main ones other than Belfast Corridor that runs out of this particular area is our Newry connection. And our Newry connection is on the 240 service, and what we did actually from speaking with council and taking advice for meetings from councillors I now recognise in the room this evening who have spoken to through the year, We actually aligned it with the new X5, and Greg, that's the service that runs directly between Newry and Dublin. It's a connection from Newry to Dublin Airport, and our 240 we tried to align with it as part of the review, and the reason for that was to offer a better Dublin connection from the Stratford and Lochale area to Dublin and Dublin Airport. And we have seen, now in fairness that only came in the line earlier on this year, but we have actually seen an element of growth on that service, and we're hopeful that that growth will continue. So we've seen some minor success in that, and we're glad to report that. From September, there'll be two additional connections shown in the timetable, the X5 and the X1. The X5's the Newry, the X1's the Belfast, the hourly one that runs all day and all evening, at 6:55 and 1800 departures from Downpatrick. We also then, corporately as well, but from this area, we trialled midnight movers from Downpatrick and Newcastle. These will be replicated again in the run-up to Christmas. Now, we did three or four of them last year in the run-up to Christmas, and it was very embryonic, and people had to get used to it, and there were online bookings and various things. But they were successful. And what we did then, from the summer months there, from mid-July to mid-August, we put on more midnight returns from Belfast. And, well, in fairness, you know, we were hoping that they could have been a little bit more successful. We're hoping, like, it's like everything else, when you trial something, it builds by reputation and by word of mouth and by success and how it runs. So we're hopeful once again, sort of mid to late November into early to mid December, we shall be running those pre-Christmas again. We've also improved the service to Belfast with the introduction during July of August 237. Departing Newcastle, this is now from 1300 and leaving Belfast at 1430, because through consultation with stakeholders and passengers, we realised it was a bit of a hiatus in the afternoon, and we didn't have a mid-afternoon connection from Newcastle, and I'm hoping, Nathan, saying, are we hoping to continue that through the winter?
No.
We're not?
It's not starting in September, but it will be hopefully
within the day we might be able to get it in. Right. Now, Avril has pointed out, just for me to be factually correct to Council this evening, that we did run it for the summer. We did see that was a gap that we needed to address. Unfortunately for resources, with the school starting back, so on and so forth, we're not able to run through from September, but the plan is to reintroduce it as early into 2019 as we can. So that would be good news service. That's our express services. Rurally, we introduced two return trips on a Saturday from Killalay, departing Downpatrick at 11:15 and 16:10. And we also introduced another service from Strangford, leaving at 12:05 and 17:45. On a Sunday, sir. Sorry, my apologies. And we've reviewed our Ballykinder service, the 16C, and now what it will be providing a connection for passengers to avail of the Clough Medical Service, this medical centre. And it's coming online from September. So it has its own new service number of 16G, and that was shown on our timetable as such. So that was once again, that was a request that has come to us, and we were happily able to provide that service for customers. Three times a year, we also meet with a passenger focus group council, and the passenger focus group give us various guidelines and sort of information back from their perspective as being regular service users. And one of the gentlemen on the focus group asked us would we consider sort of introducing a stop at Ballino because of the circle there, Stone Circle. And we are actually going to run that as a timing point from September on our 16-day service. So that was in response to our passenger focus group. From our GLAS on our 16A service, we retimed from 11 o'clock to 11:05 from Monday to Friday, and that actually now makes a better connection to the Belfast service going through as well. So we're happy with that. We've retimed our Saturday departure from Killalay from 8:00 to 8:30 to enable customers to get into work from 9 a.m. as a direct inquiry from one of our customers from Killalay. Said we're a shop worker in Downpatrick here, and the way it was timed beforehand was just needing a bit of time, tight for them to get to their place of work. So we retimed that as a direct response from a customer inquiry. one of the things going forward now as we go into the autumn is what we're going to do as well is trial a bus. We're just not sure yet, but certainly early to mid-November into early to mid-December, and we're going to put on maybe a Thursday evening Lisburn service over to Sprucefield from Dunpatrick here. So that was once again direct result of consultation with customers and stakeholders. It's a trial. It's just some people were saying that there may be an appetite for the people in this particular area to avail of a service to Sprucefield for Christmas shopping. And we're simply just going to give it a belt. And what we're actually going to do is just a little council support. And I would like you to put the word out for that. And us, you know, I'm going to try and get a newspaper ad and stuff. But it would be really good if you would help us with that one. New developments then. We intend to review our services from Newcastle and Downpatrick to improve the service through Carrie Duff. Now that's going to be a big thing that we're going to do, and it's going to take some time. We'll be looking sort of any sort of implementation would be early 2019, but our hope is to make a better and more streamlined service that will serve both corridors, the Newcastle and Downpatrick corridors, but coming through Carrie Duff, offering a more regular and reliable service going through that area. That's in line with a new thing that we, if council may have heard of our one of our latest initiatives of the Irby, which is if any of you have travelled to Belfast International Airport in our service, there's a new style of what we call a street decker vehicle that we use in that, and what we've got a new delivery of those, and we'll be introducing six of those on our council park and ride runs. They'll be based in Ballinahinch. And as of yesterday, I had a meeting with the head of bus services, and what we're actually going to get the opportunity to trial two of those vehicles out of Downpatrick here itself on our Belfast run, which will give you double deck vehicle, brand new, Wi-Fi compatible, leather seats, and it'll be a really, really nice upmarket and hopefully pleasurable travel experience for our customers. And well, basically it's a trial, like everything else, and what I'm trying to do, I hope it gets the support that will enable me to maybe make it a more regular feature. But I stress to council it is a trial. It'll be a time-limited thing, because those two vehicles will then be moved to somewhere else, you know, to equally trial out somewhere else, because we're buying these vehicles off rights, and we can only buy them on a demand basis, you know, and we're also dependent on money coming from government, you know, down the line to support that. So I would like to just finish by saying we did an exercise recently to show you just how effective bus usage is. And TransLink, we were able to close off on Sunday the 3rd of June, we closed off a section of Lagganside Road, just Lagganbank Road, Lagganside, just behind the law courts there. And we put a number of staff, over quite a number, I think it was 50-odd cars, into that area. And then we actually showed how many people that equated to and how they would actually fit on two double-decker buses. So it shows the importance and the effectiveness of taking cars off the road. How many cars you would take off the road just by using two full double-decker buses to show the effectiveness of public transport. Now, that is available, if you remember, if you actually get a moment to look at it, you can just download it. It's a simple YouTube production that you can view. It's called RoadShare. And if you just simply type in RoadShare, you'll see that. And it would actually shock, I'm sure, pleasantly surprise council as to just how many cars you could take off the road with the use of two double-deckers. And that's why we're very, very happy to try and produce that and sell that forward. That's me done with the review of this particular area, but the area manager did also want me, excuse me, to just mention one thing before I was to finish. The area manager, one of the messages that he was going to actually like to put to council was just to make you ever sort of knowledgeable and whatever, and to know that we are under constant threat and pressure from external sources and competition on our major routes. And you only asked me to put this forward to you as a statement of reality, and certainly not any sort of threat. It's just a simple fact of life. That with the economic pressures that we are faced with, because any sort of operator would come in to challenge our routes, are going to challenge the high paying routes and the routes that we would use to cross subsidise the likes of rural service and be able to make the changes and the upgrades that we have made over this year, and we'll continue to try and avail and make off over the coming year and going forward. So we just would like to ask council for their support in helping us in our endeavours and going forward, because the threat that we receive from the outside and from the private industry is one that will have far-reaching effect on us, on our employees and our customers going forward. And with that, I would like to thank you for listening to me. I'm very pleased to be here tonight. Thank you, Council, for the invitation and the opportunity to speak. And I'd like to hand you over to my colleague, Greg, please. Thank you very much.
Well, unless anybody has any questions they'd like to ask here in post.
I think we'll have a presentation first and then we'll check the questions.
Okay. Good evening, councillors. My name is Greg McLaughlin. I'm the SDM in Uri. So I'll just give you a brief update on what we've been trying to work at in Uri in the past year. Obviously, the most obvious development we've had is the implementation of the direct Uri to Dublin service, which started on the 10th of June. For a long time now, I've been arguing the case that Uri should have its own dedicated service to Dublin. The numbers backed it up. We had numerous cases of people being left behind. It wasn't suitable. And eventually they agreed, and on the 10th of June, the X5 started, which means that although we have a 24-hour service to Dublin, from 7:15 in the morning to 6:15 at night, the services start in Uri, which means people have, when they turn up, the bus is empty and virtually guaranteed a seat. Now, the success of that has been that in June, we were up 30% on what we did last year. July, we were up 18%. And August, while it was the same numbers last year, it's because last year we had a lot of assist buses on. So Newry has now got its own dedicated Dublin service, which we hope to expand on. Next in the pipeline is the development of our Belfast Express service. We are, even though we have at peak times in the morning, a bus going every 15 minutes, we're gradually getting towards capacity again. So the next step is to run more direct services from Banbridge. So the new Lough 238, when it comes in at peak times in the morning, will go from Newry to Lough Brickley to Banbridge and then go direct to Belfast, missing out Dromore and Hillsborough. Now, that's not to say Dromore and Hillsborough will be left out. Lisburn will operate their service from Dromore and Hillsborough, allowing me to provide a faster, more direct service to Belfast. Also, in the last year, we have noticed that our early service to Belfast on a Saturday hasn't got enough capacity. So again, when the 2-3 directs are introduced, which we hope towards the end of this year, we will be introducing an additional 2 services on a Saturday morning going to Belfast. And obviously Replica come out in the evening out of Belfast. So we're building quite a bit of capacity into 2-3. Hopefully by this time next year, we will have a new fleet of buses to serve both Dublin and Belfast. Our current fleet is 6 years old, our Gold Liner fleet, and while they're in good condition, superficially, i.e. leather seats, well maintained inside, Wi-Fi, their engines are getting towards near the end of their life, and we need newer buses, we need bigger capacity buses, so we will be looking at introducing what's called tri-axle Gold Line buses. Again, they'll be the latest spec, highest spec, leather seats, charging points, Wi-Fi, everything that would both young people and business people and elderly people would appreciate. Then at a more local level, I've been working recently with Council myself in Avril in a joint enterprise where we're looking to run a pilot scheme from early October to Christmas, a service going on a Friday night from Newry to Crossmaglen and a service going from Newry to Kilkeel. The idea of this is to, I wanted to do it with the council because we wanted buy-in from the council so we could see that, look, if it's a success and everybody's on board and it works, we can look to repeat it next year, we can look to expand it, we can actually just see how it works and how we want to take it forward. But with the council agreeing to fund it to the tune of 50%, we've got what I call joint ownership of the pilot project, and we've newly bid on board to help us market it. We're supplying the services, and I have some local interest groups and local councillors who are putting their support and weight behind it. Next development we'll be looking at is, after the Belfast, is our next most popular service, is our 39 service, which is the service that serves primarily Warren Point, West Drebbel, and with extensions to Kilkeel. We're going to look at that from a point of view, whether do we need to put more resources in there, do we need to change the type of buses, should that be a type of service that's operated by double-deck buses because of capacity issues, and that's becoming down the line, as I say, after the 238 is introduced in our Belfast. The last point we've been working on is, Kieran mentioned the late night movers. We ran it last year, lead up to Christmas. We ran it again in August, and the two depots that were self-sufficient with regard to numbers were Derry and Uri. And now, I believe, our commercial team is going to be looking at the viability of putting on a late night, what's called a late night mover, i.e. a bus out of Belfast, 12 o'clock at night, throughout the year for Uri. Now, they have to do the numbers to see if it's going to be viable to do it, but the initial indications looked like it was good. Our numbers were quite good coming out of Belfast over the month of July and August. That's basically what I've got to say. If anybody has any questions, I'll be taking.
Yeah, thank you very much for your presentation. Now we're going to take some questions. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just want to welcome you here again tonight. I know that the Downpatrick Bus Depot has always had a very good working relationship with councillors in the East Down area. In particular, I'm delighted you've responded to our request for more services on a Saturday. And we were all fairly sure that that would be commercially successful. That service does indeed fund most of the rural services in our area, given that it's the big money maker in East Down. Very important, not just for commuting, but also for getting up to town on the weekend. You might look in the view of the success of the Saturday service at doing a bit more about Sunday or having evening services. But nevertheless, it's very welcome, a great response to it. The 240 alignment with the service to Dublin is quite important too. I haven't seen much publicity about it. Now, there were a huge number of complaints down through the years, as you know, that people arriving in Uri being left on the side of the road when the service coming down from Belfast was full, you know. I'm not sure how that's working out now with the Uri dedicated service to Dublin, but you can see there would be issues. And I think we have mentioned going back 10 years, there was once a Dublin route direct to Newcastle and Downpatrick, which was quite important for tourism purposes, and the importance of that was once you got your bags on the bus, you knew you were going to get to the airport, and you know the Dublin airport is the dominant airport for people in this area. So if the Newry service direct proves to be commercially successful, maybe you could go back and revisit the original Downpatrick route, which was also enormously popular, direct to Dublin. And I think the issue it came a cropper on was when they started to license routes, and for some reason they felt they had to license the Dublin-Newry route and then separately license the Newry to Downpatrick route, and they felt they couldn't license a single route for Downpatrick to Dublin via Newcastle. For whatever reason, and because they couldn't get a license for it, they had to discontinue the service despite the fact it was actually operating successfully, you know. So I know you've got to face off against people trying to come into the market and pick off the best routes, and I agree with you, it would be an awful disaster for our area because we'd lose all our rural routes if that was the case. One thing I would ask you to do, and it's related to your work on giving us a Sunday service in Strangford, which hopefully can be extended because we have big problems with traffic in Strangford, Porta Ferry. The ambulance service and fire service have written to TNI about their practice of not using the queuing area in Strangford Village. And they basically allow traffic to snake all the way up through the village, which frequently blocks the crossroads, even up as far as the school. Now, quite a number of the people working in Downpatrick Depot are in my rowing club in Strangford, and they'll tell you, just from their own personal use of Strangford in their recreational times, as well as driving buses to Strangford, how difficult it can be, in fact impossible it can be, to get into the village when the village is blocked off by ferry traffic. So, I mean, the ambulance service and the fire service have written to DNI now expressing their concern that they can't get in and out of the village. It would seem obvious that Transit also could take that particular line. But anyway, thank you very much for your ongoing cooperation, and look forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you very much, Councillor Emmerich. Thank you very much for your kind words. We're always willing to give whatever assistance that we can. So if any input from us would help the fire service and the emergency services with getting in trouble 3 weeks through, only too happy to help. Thank you very much.
Okay, Councillor Andrews, please.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. In relation, I'd like to thank you very much for your presentation this evening. I'm sorry to appreciate at first hand the many courtesies and dedication of the local teams in TransLink and Down Patrick and Newcastle. You know, and I do welcome the provision of services, especially to the rural communities in our area, because I know that last year we attended a meeting in the Down Patrick office, and in fact, you outlined in your speech about the pressures of budgets and all, but despite that, there you went the extra mile in putting in services in our area and the likes of Strangford, which was very much welcomed. You know, and as I say, investments in the fleet, you know, investments in modernising the fleet is to be welcome too. But again, all I have is praise and appreciation for what you do. And don't worry, if there's any problems or queries, I won't be hesitating to give me a shout. But thanks very much for what you do.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Walker, please.
Chair, thank you very much. And Greg and Karen Navro, I want to welcome you back again. And I have to say, I don't get the opportunity to deal with Greg because he's down in the Nurean. But I have to say that any dealings I've had with TransLink out of the Downpatrick office has been second to none. They, as far as I'm concerned, you know, they're very courteous. Any time we want a meeting, we've got meetings. But in picking up on the rural services and that, I want to thank you for listening to people. Myself and Councillor Andrews met with you a lot of months ago, as you can remember, in relation to one of the things we asked for was the Sunday service from Kilray and that, and in the round the Keel. You listened, so you did. You did say at the time we asked for the meeting because in the press out there was that there was going to be 21 million cuts to TransLink. So there was, because they had to find 21 million in savings. And that when we went to meet with you in Downpatrick, you told us the pressures you were under and that, but you would work tooth and nail to keep it at a minimum in this area, or hopefully no cuts at all. At the minute, I don't see any cuts in this area at the minute. So we have to commend you as a team within our area for keeping the services running and extending services. You know, that can only be good. And I think it's up to us as elected representatives to go out there and encourage people to use public transport rather than take the car and that. And two other points is just now the schools are starting back. If you would just keep an eye on the bus routes and that, because I think at the start they tend to maybe, you know, whatever way the buses start off, they'd be overcrowded and that. And I know as an elected representative, I get parents coming to me and saying that, you know, my child was left behind because the bus was full or, you know, overcrowded or whatever. If you could maybe do that. I know in the past when I've asked, yes, I've done it, and yes, I've done a bit of tweaking or whatever and that there, and it works fine. Where kids, we all know kids hang on to the last bus, so they do. If there's three buses leaving Kilray in the morning, they're poor. You know, they'll hang on maybe to the last two, and that's where you do get the problem. So it is in relation to it. The other thing is that as someone we've already spoke to in relation to it, myself and Councillor Andrews, in relation to park and rides, you know, we've talked about just outside Downpatrick here on the route to Belfast and that. Is there any update on the park and ride between Downpatrick and Belfast? We did mention areas of Crossgar and that, because a lot of people are parking there in Crossgar and getting on the bus in the streets. Then people coming in to do a bit of shopping are kicking up because they can't get parked and that. So the park and ride,
and the school bus services when they're starting again, and you keep an eye on that. But thanks very much once again for your continued work in this district on behalf of, I know, the people that I represent, because it is very much appreciated.
Okay. Yes, of course.
Thank you very much, Councillor Walker. It was always a pleasure to talk to you whenever you come in, and it's always good to speak with you. And we're always approachable. Please don't hesitate if you have any problems or any queries that you want to bring through the depot. The only just two things I was going to say in respect of this very, very kind and generous comments from Council this evening, it's made us feel very welcome. Thank you very much. But first of all, like, in fairness, the positive changes that we did make I was just going to say a lot of those changes are directly attributable to Avril down there. It's Avril's local knowledge, and she has her ear to the ground in the area. She knows every one of you, or quite a few of you, first name terms, and you know, has very good working relationship with council. And a lot of these were only made possible by Avril's personal efforts on these, and I would like to thank her for that. The only thing, I'll finish you up now. Thank you very much for listening. I was just going to finish by letting you know, later on in September, you will receive an invitation from Translink. We have one of our Meet the Managers events. Now, I'm saying it in such a way because it was supposed to happen last weekend, but apparently there was a couple of things going on around the place, and apparently the services were a little busy over the weekend for some reason, and we had a busy day on Saturday and had an equally busy day on Sunday, and so for that reason our Meet the Manager event that was planned for Friday was actually postponed until September. So you will, if you have not already, receive invitations in September to that rearranged date, and we look forward to seeing whoever's available on that date again. And thank you very much again for listening to us this evening and giving us such a warm welcome. And thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Savage, please.
Yes, Greg, Karen Neville, you're very welcome. Greg, just want to touch on a couple of things with you in relation to Newry. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the work that was done in relation to the direct route. I know my colleague, Councillor Gary Stokes, had worked very closely with you in delivering that, and I'm glad that the feedback we were getting from the local communities reflected in the uplift in numbers. Feedback I've got has been very positive about that route, and I think it'll be very successful going forward. I'd like to pay tribute to yourself, to yourselves and Newry Bid for the work that was done in relation to the late night service, that I think will be very invaluable to the local nighttime economy in Newry, and give people in South Armagh and the Mourns a bit more later access to, say, for the cinema, for example, and nightlife after work or whatever on a Friday evening. And having been a user of the Night Mover service from Belfast, I think it's a great service, and especially up to Christmas time when people are going out to meet friends and family, it's a very valuable service. The issue I wanted, and I maybe raised this before, I picked it up at the weekend when I was in the Derrybeg, the Meadow area, particularly from elderly residents. It's the bus that goes out to Father Colin Park, Bessbrook, goes out through the Meadow, Derrybeg, out to Bessbrook and back down into the town again, down the Camler Road. There's been representations made to me seeking if that route could be worked in reverse as such, or similar to the route that goes via Barcroft, and if there are mechanical or health and safety reasons for doing that, I'm happy to go back to the residents and explain to them, but they're quite frail and elderly. What should be really a mile long journey at the most to get to the post office and to get their bits and pieces ends up on a 5 mile round trip in some cases, or close to that. And they've asked that I raise that with you, to see if the route could not go out the Camler Road, out to Bessbrook and back down through Derrybeg and the Meadow, which means that their time on the bus, some of them are using walking aids, etc. If it could be facilitated to do that route in reverse, that they're only a short time, they're only on the bus for about a mile long journey. And I know the one from Barcroft would go up through that area and back up around through, I think, Carnegat and Barcroft and back down again. I'm not 100% sure, but that was raised with me as well. It's just what they're looking at is access to a short bus route into town, and some of them have actually decided not to get a taxi in because it's quicker and then get in and out, and I think that's defeating the purpose of trying to make the public transport accessible to all. But that's just the main issue that I've picked up in Newry. But again, congratulations on the direct route to Dublin. It's gone down very well. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Yeah, the nearly city service one was a tricky one because I was under pressure to make drastic cuts to it. And I convinced our commercial team that, look, we could make some changes, but I didn't want to effectively cut out any areas. So what we did was we looked at the best design. I know the problem the people in Derrybeg have, and I know that the Father Colin Park has been used as the one that they get on, but the Barcroft one, if they get on that one, which is called the City Loop, 338C City Loop, that gets them into town in 10 minutes. Our problem was we designed something that was going to stop the commercial team from saying, look, out of your 6 city services, 5 are not profitable. And I had to make a case of saying, well, look, if we can cut the losses on them, we want to keep them on in one guise or other. So we amalgamated two. We have to try and make them work into a schedule, a pattern that are cost effective without any area losing a service. We effectively did that. Not ideal. An idea that Derrybeg would be better suited by the City Loop, which would have took 10 minutes even, not the Father Colin Park one. That's the one that gets used as an example of it could take 20 minutes to get into town. But the 338C also goes through Derrybeg, and that in your town in 10 minutes. Now, again, we'll go and look at it. And again, if we can turn it around and it's effective, it works, I have no problem doing that. But we have to remember that none of these services work in isolation. And they have to fit into a schedule where they'll do a 338C City Loop, and then they'll fit into a 338F, a Father Cullen Park, and then they'll fit into something else. But Councillor, I'm more than happy to look at that again and get back to you on it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Councillor Terry Carty.
Hi, thank you, Chair, and I want to thank you for your presentation. Just as you would be aware, Greg, me and you met a number of years ago in relation to trying to get a service running to Cross Midland, and I know that the rural areas, like the bus service to them, has been terrible the last number of years. And as I welcome this move that we really get a Friday night service, I'm all concerned around the timing of that, what time that service will run at. And even the timing of us coming on in October, I think we missed a serious opportunity here. We had a whole long good summer when we had kids off, when we had the secondary school off, the college kids off. And that's the time they'd want to go to Newry. I'm not saying that the service or not the service that we have, but when the schools is closed and the colleges is off and all of that, is that not an opportunity time for kids to go to the cinema, use the swimming pool and all that service that's in aid to the children of South Armagh? Do you know, we're going to start it now when they're back at school, when they're studying and all of that. And I'm not knocking, I'm saying we have to try it and see how it works. But for the life of me, I can't understand why you wouldn't have done it like the perfect summer we had. And I've been begging at you, Greg, for on several occasions, you knocked it back on us to try this. We did do a pilot some years before, but we never told anyone we were doing it. The bus run at night, we just never told anyone it was happening. But I'm hoping now that this will be advertised and well advertised, and that people's aware it's happening. But it'll take a very minor effect on the problem we have. We have, as I say, the fantastic swimming pool, leisure centre, cinemas and all of that. And the children in South Armagh don't have access to that. And I'm not 100% sure, as I say, I won't knock it. We'll see how it works the Friday night in October. And I don't want it mixed up with a late service coming out of other areas. I don't want a bus coming at 12 o'clock at night. We're talking about children coming from the swimming pool, the cinema and all of that. And we have to get a balance in that to get it right. And I'm saying we'll have to monitor this and see how it works. But we're late for this year. But for next summer, we have to look at giving those young people an opportunity to use the services, whether they're not tied to homework, whether they're not tied to exams and that, when they have the time off that the service is available. And like as I say, I won't knock this till we try it, but I do have concerns. And I would like to see it. I would like to see a service on at least 2 days a week, two evenings a week, that they have that opportunity, and that the bus come back into Newry will work out for children using the service, and the bus coming home is that there's not. I don't want to see that when children come out of the cinema or the swimming pool or whatever else, that there's a 2 hour gap there. You know, so it's just maybe it'll be no harm to sit down with locals and have a bit of a discussion on that, how that will work. But I do welcome any changes or any bit that will help us. But I say it's minor to the problem we have, and it's how it's managed.
Thank you very much, Frau Councillor. You know yourself, the council have come on board and they're part funding this with us, so this is very much council driven, and if Cross again feel they have a need for greater services, then there is a pathway now through the council to say, well, look, let's extend this make it bigger, and let's see if it's viable to run. The reason why it didn't happen earlier was the council approached me to see if I would be interested in doing this. And they came up with a time scale, the limit. Once we agreed that it would be 50-50, the council very much took the lead on the limitations of it. And I'm quite happy to work with anybody, but we can't have a scenario where we take on what we know we're going to be lost leading services and take the complete hit ourselves. But if the council want to match us and come with us, to find us a willing partner to work with. So there is now a process where the council have input. They are partly funded, so they get a say. And very much, myself and I have gone to the meetings and have said to the council people who've been at the meetings, look, tell us what you want us to do. Because you're partly funded, we'll provide the service, you provide the facilities, the where for all to do it, and we'll come along with open hands and provide the facility or the service to it. So again, if you feel the need for more services, then there is now a pathway to doing that through the council. What we'll do is anything that comes to us and the council are partly funding it, I will go back to our commercial team and say, look, there's more than just profitability. We'll not make profit. We know that come this Christmas, these services won't make money, but they're a community-based service. And because I'm not taking 100% of the loss, I'm quite willing to give something back. So when the council said, we'll come on board and we'll fund it to 50%, all of a sudden you now realise that they have to watch their finances as well. So they dictated to us what the limitations of what they want to do, and would we facilitate that? And we said, yes, we would. And that's how this is a move forward. Other than that, there, I couldn't have, and explain to yourself before council, I couldn't have taken that commitment on and finance it fully ourselves, because we'll just be losing money continuously. But I'm quite happy if the risk has been spread to work in partnership with the council.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Byrne, please.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think I was still getting the bus when Councillor Hardy was calling for it and crossing it then, so I'm happy to support actually everything that Terry has just said. I think he's made two key points that I want to just elaborate on. First of all, you know, if you're going to launch as a pilot in October, it's completely welcome. I think it's a brilliant idea. But the timing of it, a pilot, the idea of a pilot programme is to get a feel of the demand out there. And the timing of that is key. And as Terry says, kind of the dark evenings when you've missed a big long summer, that's going to affect the numbers using it. Not only that, it's the lead-in period to a pilot programme. A number of years ago, when I lived in Crossmaden all my life, and I didn't know that there was the first pilot programme was being and gone before I realised that there was something going on. It's 4 weeks away from the start of October. So right now as councillors, we need to be leaving the chamber, saying that there's a pilot programme starting. These are the proposed times. Because if all this information is released within 2 weeks or a week before it, you're not going to get the information out there for people to use it. You're going to come back with skewed figures. People didn't know about it, so you'll say it's not worth doing. So I think we need to have that information now. The last bus leaves Cross at 5 o'clock to Windon Newry. The last bus leaves Newry at 6:15. It also is, as Terry's saying, people who want to use the facilities in Newry or the cinema. It's also people getting home from work. I have nephews that work in Newry, can't get home. 6 o'clock, they're running for the bus. So the timing of that is a 9 p.m. bus coming home from Newry, is there a later bus coming in across? We need that information before a pilot program gets off the ground, because if it's getting off the ground without the time frame to try and educate the people in Cross about it, it's not going to work. And then when it's going to fall on deaf ears and say, listen, it didn't work, it'll be another couple of years before we try it again. So the preparation work needs to be done for 4 weeks out. I agree that it's a strange time of year to do it, although I do completely welcome it. And if you're saying about the profits, it's not profitable, and because the council's coming in 50%, that it's sort of easier for TransLink to come in on this service because council's going to take a 50% hit, well, then we need to look at a temporary service. And again, and this is just reiterating the point that Councillor Hardy made, if it's only profitable or for TransLink to do a service during the summer months, then albeit, commit to a service in Cross the Glen during the summer months when students are off, that right through the summer, you can go in and use the facilities in the nearest city. So I don't think you should just knock it just because it's not feasible financially right throughout the year. You take it in pieces and say, listen, the summer will work, let's commit to that from here on, and let's look at how the pilot program goes one night a week in October. But we need to be leaving here knowing what times we're looking at. And if we're talking about a pilot program now that is, just finishing this point, if we're talking about a pilot program that's going to be up and running in October, surely we've had discussions about the times that the buses is leaving and what that pilot's going to entail. So I'd like that information on a voice for whatever that Councillor Hertie says.
Thank you, Councillor. I may not have made myself clear when I said this was a council-led initiative and we're providing the service. They came to us with the proposal. They want to promote it. They want to advertise it. And now ask us to provide the services. So when you say that, you know, the times are not made, it was made very clear to us, our responsibility is to provide the bus, the driver, and the service. The council and Yuri bid, we're going to do the promotion, the advertising, and get the information out there. The local representatives and the council said we're going to drum up support. They came to us with the timing and the idea behind it and asked us to come on board, which we did. So it's a council-led initiative. We've said we'd take, we could have asked for 100% funding of it. We didn't. We said we'd go into partnership with them. But it's very much the council want us to come on as service facilitators, and they would do the advertising, the promotion, and the information distribution in relation to it.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Tinley, please.
Thank you, Chair. Greg, a couple of issues around that would be resolved out of your office. I'm glad to hear that there's proposals to upgrade the number 39 route. I would use that bus quite often myself, going into Newry from wherever. And I see a marked increase in the number of people using the bus. Even when I'm in the car, there always seems to be people standing at the bus stop in both wherever and Warren Point. So I'll just encourage you to make sure that those improvements are not long-fingered, because I do believe that if the service is there, a fit-for-purpose service, on people can travel in attractive vehicles with the mild cons, they will forego the car, because Newry, as we all recognise, is an absolute nightmare for parking. And I actually, I'll just to tell you very, very briefly, I wouldn't have been on a bus there for 20-odd years. And there's a couple of days, my wife was away, and I had to get a business to do in Newry. And then I realised I should do this more often. So I know a lot of people would think like I think. So I'd just encourage you to keep the pressure on to add vehicles or whatever the case may be to that service. The second issue was, as you are aware, the council have recently opened the Greenway from Victoria Lough back up into Newry. But there was a gap. I had identified a gap there and sort of had discussed it with Councillor Salvage and Hyland and Stokes just in passing at the official opening. So I'm not aware if there is a bus stop that stops outside it. I know Bus Erin to use that route. I think it's every other hour or something. But if there's no bus stop at Victoria Lock from Newry, does that arrangement have to be made with Bus Erin, or can that be done through your office?
Thank you. Right. Two things. Firstly, you're right in what you say. Why are we looking at Warren Point next? Things have changed now. We have a commercial team whose very existence depends on them being successful. So to come into the likes of myself and Kieran and Alvin now and saying, right, what do you want to do next? Where's the next area that you can see growth? And to me, after Dublin and Belfast, it was Warren Point. And to me, it's crying out for a fleet of double decks. So diesel capacity. The frequency is fine in Warren Point versus Trevor. It's more an issue of capacity. So that's what I would be pushing. Now, if they want to give me more frequent service, I'll take it. But I know what's coming next. Because once the 238 is up and going, they've signed off, they'll come back to me and say, where do you think next is right for development? And my view is to service 39. Going on to the Victoria Lock, Bus Éireann have the license for that route. And I spoke to somebody recently, and memory for names is not great, but I spoke to somebody recently and they brought that question up. Bus Éireann, and I was speaking, should be looking for a bus stop there. And they would apply to the road service to get a bus stop put in there. And show them their timetable and road service, say, okay, you have a service going every 2 hours. Yes, it's suitable to put a bus stop. So Bus Éireann, we can't apply on Bus Éireann's behalf. They have to apply themselves to say it's for their service. So if Bus Éireann put in an application to road service, then they should follow that through and put a bus stop in there. Now, the flag and all Bus Éireann can put up, we can put that up for them. But you want a proper bus stop, a proper hard standing when people get off the bus or getting on. There's a bit of a step, etc. So it'd be very much for Bus Éireann to speak to road service. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Councillor McAteer, please.
Okay, thank you, Chair. And again, welcome and thanks for your input tonight. I'm interested to hear you saying you're starting to develop your business, your business plans, business outlook as well. That's encouraging for us all probably in this area. So my question, well, it's actually quite linked to Charles. Maybe I have a different slightly angle on it. Service 405, the Mourne Rambler. So I was just wondering this year, I know our tourism figures and tourism spend has been up quite a lot. So I was interested to hear, first of all, had you noticed an increase in the usage of that particular facility or that run during the summertime? And if you have, and even going forward, I'm thinking in terms of, as part of our long-term aim is to develop Carlingford Lough, as a tourism centre. So I was wondering, given the fact that the ferry is in the Carlingford Lough, would it be worthwhile considering extending the Mourne Rambler service in around Carlingford and then down the lough? You would take in what Jordan was talking about would be the Greenway, because that does that link loop in the lock. And I wonder, again, we're talking about cooperating with council, but it's the sort of thing we would like to see starting to develop, So I think there's opportunities to do that. I know we've no bridge in our water yet, so if that was there, actually, it would make it even more obvious. But I do think it'd be worth considering this. Secondly, I just noticed quite a lot of my own family, one of them is the University of Dublin. And I'm just looking at the private operators who are now servicing UCD, the centre of Dublin. I know there are, but the X one goes to Dublin right on in there. But there also, there's a market there out to the universities as well. And obviously workers as well who are now, there's a hell of a lot of people living in our area working in Dublin. And the train's fine, but it doesn't necessarily get them exactly where they want to go, maybe even as quick, So those are two things I'd like you to comment on and take into consideration.
Sorry, Councillor, through the chair. Quick comment out there, through the curveball, Councillor. In fairness, we did try another initiative with the Mourne Rambler this year. We actually tried to introduce an open top decker on it, but that brought its own jollies, I'm afraid, Councillor, just to be really honest with you, but apart from the age of the bus and some of the hills. So we're always looking at ways to improve existing services that we have. Now, in fairness, Councillor, I'm sure you would agree that we did enjoy an exceptional summer weather-wise, which we probably didn't even predict coming in. that service is very susceptible to weather. It can be a bumper day or a complete loss. But what we would do to bring your question, we would always keep our Mourne Rambler service under review. It's one of our important services for the area, for the level of tourism it brings in, and for the people that it serves in the area. As far as the ferry is concerned, we would have to treat that as a separate entity. Now, once again, I'm sorry to be tried and tested and cliched, but that's down to resources and down to our commercial department and stuff like that there. I'm sure it's something that we could take forward for consideration. But it's an excellent point you've made. Thank you, Councillor. But it's just something we'd have to look at. I couldn't really give you the definitive answer on the ferry situation right now. But it certainly is an excellent point. Through the chair, I've duly noted, Councillor. Duly noted. Thank you very much.
Councillor, in relation to the Express to Dublin, our licence, and once you go across the border, obviously, you're quite restricted in what you can do in the licence. Our licence allows us to drop off and pick up at Dublin Airport. In Bosharis, I would envisage running into a problem with NTA if you tried then to extend that. They would say, no, that's covered by Dublin Bus, etc. And I would doubt very much where they would grant the license to go past Bosharis. Our big market is the airport and Dublin City. And obviously one of the things we're looking to do is by putting on the direct from Newry, we're looking to see whether we can begin to catch some of the commuter market to Dublin, because as we all know, Newry, an awful lot of people in Newry look south to Dublin for their employment as opposed to north to Belfast. And I've been trying to explain that to Belfast and their people for years. They don't seem to grasp it very well, but eventually the penny did drop. And I'm saying, anybody in Newry who's got a career ahead of them, they're looking at Dublin and they're seeing a 40% salary premium as opposed to looking north to Belfast. So where would you go? So eventually the penny dropped, and that's why you got the service. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Highland, please.
Hi, Madam Chair. Thanks very much, and also thank the top table for the presentations. Found it very valuable. Just a couple of points. The one about and I appreciate there has to be retweaking and rescheduling of routes. Just how do you publicise that? How do you let people know? There's some people that come to me in Newry and said, "Geez, we came down on the bus that was normally going at 2:00, now it's been changed to 12:15 or some other time." And they're not aware of it. And I don't know how you get that information out to them, but it does put people off if that sort of thing occurs and they're not aware of it. And one other point is it's about harmonisation of services. Myself and my good wife have reached the 60 milestone, and we always like availing of your bus passes. And yet in the south, I don't think the bus pass is available until you're 65 or 66, is it? Is there any chance of getting the harmonisation of those services? Because, I'd like to go down the south, but sir, I'll have no bus pass down there, I mightn't be able to avail of it.
Right. Thank you, Hunter.
Thank you.
The first point, the information. Quite often now in a company like ours where you have the partners run things, they decide to know best how to publicise things. So what we're told is, look, we come up with an idea, you operate it, you leave advertising marketing to us. They do things now, it's got much more things through social media. So they will say to you, we put it on our website, we put it on various social media platforms, and they seem like yourself, because I'm of a certain vintage where you're going to do something, you put it in the local newspapers, you put posters everywhere, which you still do. Now, because of social media, our department now decide the way forward is through social media, through the website, through journey planners, etc. And they just contact centres, etc. And they've decided this is how it's going to be advertised. Now, you go into the depot, and the promotion says to the X5 to Dublin is everywhere. But that's only relevant if you're in the depot. It's no good if you're driving down Monroe Street or driving up to Camler Road, and they do billboards. Again, I don't thought the right way of doing it was put it in the local papers, but we now as managers of local areas don't run that type of thing anymore. We run the operation and have to ensure that it runs properly, runs on time, etc. The second thing is the passes. Yes, you're right, it's 60 in Northern Ireland, cross-border 65. That's very much a department thing. I know they keep going asking about that, and they keep getting told financially it's not viable, and they don't envisage any change in it anytime soon. But that's something that wouldn't be in our remit. It's very much, we get, even though you get on, you don't have to pay for it, we get paid by the department for your journey. So we have to go by what they say. Thank you.
Right, thank you very much. I know it's been a long day, but I have one final question for you. It's about Hilltown, a bus shelter. We were asking to consider it a part of your program, and TransLink agreed to look at it, and it passed to the second stage of feasibility study, and I'm just wondering what stage is it on now, and is it going ahead?
Which one is it?
It's across from Svelga Park in Hilltown.
Again, I know TransLink have now taken it over. There's a gentleman called Chris Nakin. I'll check that and get back to you.
It just has come into the school time, and it's vitally important, for the kids to have a shelter for winter.
Yeah, Spelled Park and Hilltown.
Spelled Park, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. I don't think we have any more questions, so thank you very much again for being here and for your presentation. It's been very informative, and we hope to see you in the future here, and thank you very much again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Council, again, for the warm welcome and the response, and thanks for giving us some more ideas to take forward. It's always a pleasure. Thank you again. Good evening.
I just would ask all the remaining councillors to please remain in your seats, because if somebody else leaves, we don't have a quorum for the rest of the meeting, please. Right, we're just having a little break for 5 minutes, and then we'll be back.
I'll not take that long. I'll only be just one up here until the game. I don't know.
And stay on the Okay, councillors, I think we're going to continue our meeting. Thank you very much. Can I please ask everybody to take their seats? All right. So next on the item, we have Belfast Regional City Deal, and Liam is going to update us on that. Thank you.
I'm just going to stand from here. Members have been at the ERC committee when I've got rugby and operations, and I wish to say that life of destination in the dairy, I think we agreed that the party gets back in with Mayor June. We were targeting the 21st of September, but still targeting the 21st of September closing down the day. So full competition will be in place at this point in time. It has been an indeed changing on a day-to-day basis. I had a meeting with the chief executive from all the councils and departments, park members of NAO on Friday. We have another meeting on the digital part of tomorrow afternoon. So as you can see, this meeting's on a day-to-day basis, on a week-to-week basis on this. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to bring you up to date where we are in terms of the CD, what potential changes that will be coming forward, where the various will come up. Update you in terms of indications we're getting from the Northern Ireland office, and also then look for some agreement at the end of it to have some mechanism whereby we can get council clearance to sign up the deed at the end of it. So just to run through what it is, basically Belfast City Deal is a funding package between Treasury in the UK, done through the Department of Housing, Communities and Local Government, being the lead department in Westminster, the Northern Ireland Executive, and local authorities. It involves finance. It's an innovative strategy. It's about inclusive growth, i.e. economic growth for the area over and above what normal growth.
but also particularly travelling at the more deprived areas. Again, we are looking at £1 billion which will actually be a major game changer over the next 10 years in the region. You know, the council areas, Whitney, Sands Mountain, Newton Abbey, Lisburn, Castlereagh, Arden up there, Newry, Mourne and Down. And again, it's about providing better quality jobs, so it's about taking people out of employment and getting them better jobs, better skilled jobs, investing in the area, retaining existing talent, improving skills levels, and again, growing domestic and encouraging the rest of business, but also encouraging direct investment. And actually, pretty important that this investment is spread across the whole district. So again, the framework that we have, the policy strategy, is based on five pillars: industrial strategic framework, infrastructure, digital skills, and tourism. So what we have done is we've put together a number of pillars, and we're going to take you through each aspect of that. You remember we started off with an odd list? Conscious that there's £1 billion offer, right? So in terms across the full council area, it's got to provide infrastructure across that whole area. So where we started off was at a number of projects. We're sitting now with two strategic projects in on the legal and infrastructure. One is another leaf road, which will open up the whole area from right along the corridor, so actually bringing you accessibility to our high port, creating jobs and opportunities for investment through the South Armagh, South Down and Newry area, taking trucks and vehicles out of the centre of Newry, which actually makes much easier in terms of from an infrastructure point of view getting through Newry. Newry City Centre Regeneration, that's our key civic building, theatre and conference centre, and actually using that as a catalyst to attract, not only to build grade A accommodation, but to attract grade A accommodation in the area, but also enable us to perhaps provide grade A office accommodation, which then can accommodate the civil service or a mix of other accommodation along with those civic buildings. On the tourism, then we had Newcastle Gateway to the Lords. Again, development of the visitor experience of Thomas Quarry, Gondola, which actually provides a strategic project. So, if you take it that the two big key tourism signature projects in Northern Ireland are the Titanic Centre and the Causeway Centre, this would be the third large one with the tourist border state leading in Northern Ireland. So, again, being a signature tourism project in the area. And the final part of then the final part, the infrastructure part of it, is innovation and digital. Taking the money that's come through from the city lead, money that's come through from money provided by the supply and competence, money that was going to upgrade broadband, bringing above that, so basically that every child, every business there would get super fast broadband within the next 5 to 10 years. So indeed, we actually activate broadband delivery in that area. Coupled with that then, you want to try and do a number of other innovative aspects. First of all, IDA is looking at, UK government is looking to set up 5G testbeds. So what we're looking to try and do is test out 5G within a number of the areas. So one of the areas we're looking at is really trying to take 5G testbeds in around logistics, which probably links again to 1.4, but also to looking at smart tourism, whereby if I'm a tourist in the area, come on to an app, it's a bit like Amazon. So you're a visitor in particular, you look up, I want to go to find the castle. And when you get that out, then we decide putting the down park there, we decide putting the other, setting the message. So using this technology, also the technology tied to lampposts in the area, to gauge out where people have gone, to start to trace it, and try to get that level of integration. And then the last bit of it then really is to look at the idea of an innovative makerspace, which will be actually about creative industries and performing arts, which again, looking to build that into the art centre, and whereby we've got a new business who wants to do 3G type, do 3G printing, or do this type of technology, use 3D technology. These young people are older people who want to start a business in this area. We'll come in there, we'll get out of fast broadband, pure fibre, we'll actually start with this one within this area, and actually have trust our small business.
which are paid, working with First Service, working with staff force, working with the IIT companies in our area, using our technology to create this hub of innovation, which will spawn new business and hopefully grow the First Service in the future. Then, tying this up then again is the private skin. So, get back to the point that was made at the very start. This is about creating more and better jobs and more skilled jobs in our area. So, again, we've got the program to do that. And it's trying to target skills and employability at various levels. So, looking at it again, the whole issue of apprenticeships, encouraging apprenticeships again, looking at tying with businesses in terms of their needs and the skills that are required for their needs. And again, it is the skills program to actually have skills and employees in the area. Programs in schools and education, looking at career enhancement programs, starting to get the message out whereby get people into employment to tackle the skills gap and the skills that we're going to need in the future. Again, STEM projects, importantly, but also the issue in terms of hospitality. If we want to grow the sector, and we've talked about five potential new hotels in the area. Anyone that's been here, I went to the Titanic. Hotel again, not for the record, it's probably unsafe, but if you go to it, that the new hotels can't get the staff to come in to service the hotels. So the big issue is you build all these hotels, but you can't provide the skilled and trained staff. So again, if we're about developing tourism, how do we tie into that? And then the last thing is really the employment aspect of the graduate development program and employment academies. Again, working with the upper echelons in terms of first sector education to actually look at how we can actually use these skills going forward. And again, looking at roughly about putting $300 million over involved into this program to increase the skills gaps in the area. So where we are, we're now getting to the point where we're finalising the proposition. We've done strategic business cases for each of our projects going forward, and we're starting to prioritise the projects. So this is done. Currently, the project board for this is led by all six chief executives. Peter May, permanent secretary from the Department for Infrastructure. It also involves a representative from the Department of Finance. Judy Thompson is the deputy secretary of the Department of Finance. And again, linking in, we also included with the Department of Health, Department of Housing and Local Government in the UK, and also the Northern Air Lab. And then we also tied in, and we have the officer, we have the member grouping, which I know Mickey, Rashid, Pete, Mark, Glenn Hanna, Henry's on it, I think Jarrett's on it from the independent sector, and David's on it. So that's our victory. They need our regular base to oversee this. So where we're coming to is we're looking for £1 billion package. Now, that's what we're looking for. We haven't been guaranteed £1 billion by what we're making today. And that will be made out of £450 million from Treasury, £450 million from the Northern Ireland Government, and £10 million from the cost of councils. So, an additional funding for the universities. So, the way that will break down is, for example, Southern Regional, the council won't be putting any money into that there. That money would come directly from the Northern Ireland Executive. Usually, the generation, the council will be putting the money into that there, with money also from the Department of Communities and the Northern Ireland Office. The Gateway project, again, the council will be funding with DFE. So what you have is a number of, and when you put that total package together, that rounds up to roughly the £10 million from the council. The issue with this here is if they contract the money, and this is why quite a lot there. The Northern Ireland Office say, no, listen, you're maybe not 450 million, we're only putting 3 million, 300 million in it. That starts to change the dynamic. Where we're at the moment, and again, I'm talking to you from the basis of my meeting on Friday, we're probably looking at Southern Leaf Road is by far the critical project. It's made ahead in terms of deliverability because it's very easy to see where it will bring additional jobs. It's a secure one-way port. It'll just encourage investment. You know, it clears all that traffic out of the centre in Newry in terms of making that down. It opens up Caribbean industrial estate. It has a major potential impact for the whole Newry, South Armagh, South Down area in terms of opening that up, a key strategic. So in terms of creating more jobs and providing accessibility to jobs, it's critical.
The next one is higher up on this here, is the Newcastle Gateway Centre. I think when I spoke to the ERV committee, I reckon it was running into problems because of the strategic identity, it won't work because of the cost of it. We may have to reduce it to size, but in terms of providing jobs, in terms of providing, you know, more hotels, we find new hotels in the area, this becomes a strategic project. To see what the Titanic does in Belfast, this would have the same impact for the wider area. So again, it's probably the problem we may have is the recent regeneration project still in there, but basically it's very hard to argue how a civic building, based on the figures of how a civic building for the council will actually bring direct jobs into the area other than ancillary jobs as opposed to a permanent fraction, which will bring direct jobs. Get back to the point, I think maybe the more structures would be a key letter. That doesn't mean the project won't happen. It just won't be funded through city aid because we only can fund so much within that package. And that will be based on how it delivers in terms of economic impact and how it helps inclusivity within the area. So next up is 21st of September is deadline date. The UK government are saying they want our bid on the table. Then we go into negotiations then. In terms of the billion pound bid, they come back. And that could go on for another 12 months. The Edinburgh Dean, with the head of agreement, the Edinburgh Dean, was signed, I think, about 14 months ago. They only actually signed off the Edinburgh Dean actually about a month ago. And indeed, the content of the deed is just not drastically different, but very different than what they originally signed up for 14 months ago. So this is an iterative process, which I can't give you any guarantees at any point in time, but I can do is show you how we're going forward on this. So in preparation for that, there, what we need to do is finish off our business case, agree to prioritisation events. Again, there will be another joint members forum scheduled for mid to late September. And what I'm asking really from a different point of view is to say, this is where we are. I would actually like to do, as much as I'm going on a 10-day leave, Wednesday night, so we're easily taking over for week, but we will mainly need a couple of meetings with councillors. I hope this meeting is actually taken forward stage to stage. What I'm recommending is that we start a cross-party grouping of the parties on this here, that Marie can use, pull that together as we come down to finalise the arrangements for the 21st of September. We may need a special meeting. That would be up to that party to get it. But they can make certain for their own party. But if this council could agree to this in the process tonight, it means that at least we can sign off on something on the 21st of September. So I know that's a bit of a ramble on, but hopefully it tries to set out where we are. I'd like to be in a position where it says, this is nailed down, this is what's in for us, but we're still moving through the process.
Okay, thank you, Liam. I think we have a couple of questions. Councillor Walker, please.
Sure, yes, thank you very much. And thanks very much, Liam, for the presentation. Firstly, your recommendation, or I would make it a proposal that we move forward with this. Secondly, I don't know where the document that you presented here is confidential or not, but could all councillors be circulated with it, that they are sent out by email, because as you know there's a lot of councillors not here tonight in relation to it. And the third thing is, when you broke the fountain down, 450 million from Her Majesty's Government, 450 million from the Assembly and that, that all looks good on paper there, so it does. But as we're all aware, we don't have a functioning assembly at Stormont. If that assembly doesn't get up and running, does this all fall? Because we've seen the debacle where civil servants come in to make decisions. They're overruled in the High Court, so they are, in relation to it. Will this happen here? You know, if we don't have an assembly, where do we get the money from? You know, the executive can't make a decision if they're not there. I mean, that's the worrying factor. So it is in relation to this. Everything else could be in place, and it falls because we don't have a functioning assembly.
Do you want to pick them up? Maybe just deal with them as they come on. Okay. First of all, circulation, absolutely circulate. I have no problem circulating. Indeed, I did a briefing for the Chamber of Commerce in Uri on this idea, because it's important that members realise this council is out leading on this type of initiative, and you know this has a potential to really game changers for our area. In terms of the issues of how we sign this off, again, the final deal won't be agreed. In terms of the final package, we'll sign up to getting an arrangement done, putting the bid in the 21st of September. There will be a number of iterations of that going forward. So I think what you're probably doing is agreeing to a bidding principle, the three parties agreeing to a bidding principle until the final deal is signed off by all three parties. So we probably have an issue in that. One thing is that we are also having ongoing engagement with the MPs. I've met with both Mickey Brady and Chris Hazard for this area. Seth and Stephen are meeting with Jim Shannon. Stephen Settler are meeting with Jim Shannon to bring him up to date on to it. Belfast are dealing with Gavin Robinson and the number of the DUP councillors in them area. So what we've done is with the Westminster people, because they need to use their offices in Westminster to actually start to lobby for this here. So I hope to be contradicted here, but my meeting with the two Sinn Féin MPs was they see the benefit in this here and the potential impact, and they realise that we need to get some way of getting this over the line and how we do that. So I think this can be done. I think there's willingness to do it, Councillor Walker, but I said the proof would be in the pudding, but at this point in time, we've got full engagement at the Permanent Secretaries in this. So we're going to take it right through, but it's a bit like my earlier conversation. We can take this one step at a time, and then when we come to an issue, then we've got to address it, you know, at that point in time.
Okay, thank you. Council Savage, please.
Yes, Chair. I too would like to welcome the presentation. I agree with everything that's in it. I know we were hit with a few people saying, why hadn't we got the city park in it or whatever. I think with a wee bit of explaining to do in relation to dealing with the realities of what a city deal can actually deliver. And I think you've outlined that very clearly, and that, you know, we have to be projects that are fairly ready to go, and we've a bit of a way to go in relation to the city park. I believe that the Southern Relief Road is one that we can get over the line. I agree with you that we may struggle in relation to the civic hub that we're talking about, but, you know, I think all parties need to come together in this fairly quickly. Your timeline's very tight, and I would agree that we get people together as soon as we can to get this moving, because this is a very positive step, I think, for our city and the wider district. And I commend all the staff, Marie, yourself and others who have put the work into this. I think, you know, we're leading the way on it, and I think that it's something that'll be very beneficial for the city and district if we can get it over the line. Thanks, Chair.
That's great. Thank you. Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much. And first of all, Liam, I'd like to welcome your presentation. It's been packed, and plenty of food for thought there. And, you know, as I say, I welcome all the proposals and visions being set out on the table to be presented to the Ministry of Housing and Local Government. But I do support the call first and foremost, but could I ask a question? As a Llewellyn councillor from the northern end of the council, what benefits are in it for this end of the council? You know, from the downside, what benefits do you see? What do you see rolling out from this city deal? But don't get me wrong, go for it. But what's in it for us too?
Chairman, just maybe pick that up. Actually, I would say that Llewellyn has probably had a great advantage, because basically where you're strategically placed, you know, on the outskirts of Ards and North Down, you know, they're looking at rapid transport, they're looking at the Bangor waterfront and tourism projects within there. The Greater Belfast area, Lisburn, Castlereagh are looking at the development of Hillsborough Castle and Hillsborough Village as an attractor, a tourism attractor. So in terms of jobs and opportunities, you're going to benefit. This is a regional deal. It isn't purely for ourselves. I suppose if you take the Newry aspect of it, we're probably at the very rear part of it. But actually, the nearer you get to the Greater Belfast area, the more attractions come into it. So a lot of stuff around Queens in terms of the Science Hub. If you look at the work that they're doing with manufacturing and a manufacturing unit, it's going to be done in the Greater, with the University of Ulster's doing. So there's a number of other key projects which, you know, I think Rowallan will benefit out of, and it's going to be much more easy to access than it would be for, you know, and again, that's where the skills and connectivity of the broadband for places like South Armagh, you know, and Councillor Hardy's area in terms of, because they, we need to be able to ensure that they can plug into the benefits for this going forward, and that's going to be critically important from a digital point of view, is that that accessibility to skills and learning, and in turn in terms of businesses. So we're talking 10 years time. We know how mobile phones and smartphones have gone to, you know, people may be able to be sitting in offices or at their homes within the Crossford Lane area and actually working on a business in Belfast or plugged into Queens. That's the sort of thinking we need to be thinking about.
All right, thank you. We have a last question of the evening from Councillor Tenley.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Liam, thanks again for that update there. And I suppose there's no dispute in the Southern Relief Road will be an absolute game changer for the whole district. But the question I have is this. The Harbour Authority, I believe, is a semi-state body, or and the lake. So what is their input into finding the funding for the delivery of the Southern Relief Road, and people like the Road Haulage Association and stuff like that? In other words, what other are we doing the heavy lifting on behalf of Warren Point Port? What are they doing independent of what you're doing in relation to delivery of this? And the other thing was to, we are part of a group of six councils that are going for this city deal. Will you be seeking a guarantee that you, as the Chief Executive of the Newry Moran Council, will be able to secure a definitive percentage amount of the final money that is offered? Because my fear is that this will all be buried in York Street in Belfast, and you go through all this work that yourself and Marie's department primarily are undertaking to realise then that geez, we've been strung along here all the time. There's nothing at the end of this. So will you be seeking a guarantee that you will have a percentage of the total funding, and also the issue about who else is contributing to and who else is doing the heavy lifting in relation to delivering money or sourcing money for delivery of Southern Relief Road? Thank you.
First of all, maybe deal with the Southern Relief Road. So the Southern Relief Road, currently at the strategic outline case, is valued roughly about $116 million. So if you do the sums on this, out of, they're talking about the executive putting $450 million into it, we are getting a quarter of it. So I wouldn't be starting to argue about percentages here. What you're looking for is a wider range regional deal. So in terms of the role of Warren Point Port into it, this money will be coming from DFI. But the money will be DFI money. But the conversation we're having with the with the NIO and with the executive at the moment is that there will be money, $450 million will be coming from Treasury, which primarily be targeted at innovation, broadband, 5G test beds, that whole aspect of it, right? The DFI part will go to Northern Executive money will go to the Northern Executive projects, which is the Southern Relief Road. But this will be top sliced. So when the money comes in from Barnet, this money will be top sliced for next 10 years, channeled through the Northern Ireland office, straight to DFP and straight to councils. So if you have, and this is where it is important, this is where the politics come into it, is this will be signed off by the executive for the next 10 years. So basically, it guarantees you Southern Leap Road. So similarly, as if we have to deliver the Newcastle Gateway Centre and deliver the skills, the Northern Ireland executive has to deliver in the next 10 years the Southern Leap Road. Role of Warren Point Port in this here is Warren Point Port feeds into DFI. Claire Guinness has been part of our team in terms of putting together the strategic proposition for this area. Similarly, we're arguing about 5G test beds, about how we can bring full fibre into like Warren Point Town Hall, which then can bring levels of connectivity out in terms of the port, in terms of logistics and connectivity and the Internet of Things. And I don't profess to know everything about this, but my understanding, it will put us at a level which, you know, is is roughly the same as you'd have in the City of London. That's the level of connectivity we're looking for. That's what we're trying to endeavour. So it's actually trying to replace ourselves on that basis. But it's part of an overall package in terms of how we deliver that. Just the same way as Queen's University are doing stuff. You're not going to get a university in your area, but you know, if you're going to have a bit of science and bioscience and manufacturing, that's going to be based in Belfast, but there will be knock-on benefits for our area because we are part of our Leeds and the proposition. So our economic strategy, our infrastructure strategy, our skills strategy is done on the basis of six councils, where they're all interconnected and will deliver on that there, because we have to deliver a part of the deal, a 4% growth in the GVA, of which the vast majority of that's targeted the deprived areas. That's part of the deal, and everybody needs to work together to do that. So we won't be counting the figures against each other, but I've just cited that example to you. Take the Southern Leaf Road as a key infrastructure project. It's over $116 million, and that's over a quarter of what we would be getting, you know, into it, and we're one of six councils. So it's going to be horses for courses, for a certain extent.
Okay, thank you very much, Liam. It was very interesting.
Just Chairman, could have a proposal and second that we use the reference group for to lead and take this forward, and should they need a council meeting to bring it to a conclusion, they will advise officers on that basis.
What's proposed, Billy, and second
is Councillor
Savage. Okay, that's it. The meeting is over. Stay
home.
Thank you.
Back in November.